Ramsey TV.
I saw a guy with a Trump shirt this morning on my run. At least I thought it was a Trump shirt, but it wasn't. Boy, did I make a big mistake. I'm going to tell you about that. The only reason I'm telling you about it is because it's a political year. There's an election coming. Oh, speaking of Trump, on Tuesday, I'm going to have a show that I think I'm going to call Why Trump Will Win. It has to do with the prophecy and revelation. Could I be wrong? No. So that's going to be on Tuesday. And on Monday, we're going to hear from a fellow member of the Body of Christ, Phil Meal, who visiting from Colorado Springs. I know you folks love it when I bring in other members of the Body of Christ. You like to hear their story and you like to know that you're not alone. This is Martin Sender from the edge of the bottom of everything, basically. I'm gonna tell you why the earth, how the earth is so small to God, and why these big things that are gonna happen, these earthquakes and all these giant shakings, it's not that hard, okay? Not that hard for God. Gonna go to a great passage of scripture, Isaiah chapter 40. But anyway, I'm running in my neighborhood and I see this guy and he has Trump's name twice on his shirt. It says Trump and then at the bottom it says Trump. So, I mean, I even had my glasses on. That's what it looked like to me. Two big Trumps. So before I made the turn, I was like, yeah, four more years. You know, you see a fellow guy who likes Trump. Well, this guy turned around, he said, what? I said, four more years, go Trump. And then I looked closely at his shirt and it said Trump in big letters and then cares only about Trump. Trump cares only about Trump. That's what the guy's shirt said. And I said, oh, I see what it says now. I'm sorry, sir. And he was snarling at me. He was so upset. Like, four more years. Then I looked at his shirt. Trump cares only about Trump. I wanted to tell him, if you're against Trump, you better wear another shirt because that one looks like you're like double Trump. And it's like Trump in like 40-point type and then cares only about was in 8-point type. You got a magnifying glass to see it. It's an idiotic shirt from what I believe possibly to have been an idiotic person. No, this is why. Wait, no. I'm not being critical of anybody who doesn't like Trump. Well, actually, yeah, that sounded pretty bad. But he was in front of a house that I think he owns. This is why this is important. Because I've seen these signs in front of this house. Okay, and I think this guy lives there. He was walking two dogs. Thank God. If he wasn't walking his dogs, I think he would have come after me. Thank God the dogs weren't German Shepherds or Pit Bulls. I don't think then I would have been in big trouble. They got three signs in the yard. One says, stay home. Stay home. And the other one says, are you ready for this? I'm not making this up. The other one says, everything will be okay. Mind you, these signs have been out for 9 months, since the beginning of the CV19er panic attack. The one sign said, stay home, which is ridiculous advice. Maybe for a few days it was good advice, but stay home, everything will be okay. It's inconsistent. If you have a sign that says, stay home, if you really mean it, everything will not be okay. If everybody stays home, the next sign should say, so that the economy can collapse. You know, you need like three dots, like an ellipsis after. Stay home, blah, 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 next sign. So the economy can collapse. Or so that life as you know it will completely disappear. Or that so 50 million more children will die of starvation in third world countries because all the truckers are staying home, all the food suppliers are staying home, all the farmers are staying home. Are you a complete moron? You are if you have these signs out. What do you know what the third sign says? This is how I know that this guy was an ex-hippie. I'm getting excited about this, but he must have been an ex-hippie. The third sign says, and I kid you not, these are pre-printed signs. These aren't like scribbled handmade signs. The third sign in this dude's yard, and I think that was the dude wearing the crazy t-shirt, misleading t-shirt. The third sign says, I kid you not, peace, love, sanitize. Peace, love, sanitize. Okay. That's enough of that. I just had to share that with you. If you're going to have, again, stay home, be consistent, right? Stay home and die. All right. Isaiah chapter 40. I've been telling you about this giant earthquake, and I'm emphasizing this, and I'm emphasizing the passage from Revelation 16 that the cities of the nations fall because we hear something like this, and it's so far above us. It's so outside of our sphere of understanding or what we're used to, unless you watch, I gotta give credit where these apocalypse type movies, these disaster movies where they show a tidal wave wrecking the Golden Gate Bridge, or they show whole cities blowing up Independence Day, or they show the White House blow up. Any kind of natural disaster movie, I have to admit, I'm kind of interested in seeing the effects, because there's something in me, this is terrible, I'm confessing this to you today, please don't think worse of me, there's something in me that likes to see the arrogance and the pride of humanity wrecked. Only because I know that it's the birth pangs that are going to bring this 1,000-year kingdom. And I know that it's for the best. It's got to happen. So I'm like, okay. And it happens in a short period of time. Like I said, it's instant calamity. Instant karma, maybe. And I compared it yesterday to Noah. I compared it to the days of Noah. And actually, now that we've built these giant cities with these amazing skyscrapers, just right here in Fort Lauderdale, everywhere you look, there's a crane. So they're building, and they have this new project over the 17th Street Bridge. They're putting up a new convention center. And they have all these banners out by the fence about how this thing's going to be so many thousands of square feet, it's going to employ so many people, and they're working like ants on this thing. And I go, oh, that's such a pity. Oh, God. Here you are working on this thing, and very soon it's going to be wrecked. And I said, well, you know, at least they're gainfully employed, so how about it? I guess half the fun's getting there, right? Half the fun's getting there. But I need to tell you, I failed to tell you yesterday, that wrecking things in order to make them better. Remember, God breaks and he heals. He kills, he makes alive. He does all these bad things. When people hear that the cities of the nations fall, and they say, you're not making God responsible for that, are you? Well, yeah. But you have to look at what it results in. It's so that the evil of humanity, the evil that happens upon the face of the earth every day, in every corner of this world, the death, the evil, the pain, the suffering, is going to end. In order for it to end, the arrogance, the pride of humanity must be leveled. And it's for their own good. A brother 2 days ago, when I started talking about this earthquake, the likes of which humanity has never seen, he quoted Isaiah chapter 40. He said, why didn't I think of that? Listen to this. This is Isaiah chapter 40, and I'm going to start in verse 12. This is God's resume. He's kind of bragging a little bit, but if anybody's allowed to brag, let's let God do it. Verse 12, Isaiah 40. Who measures the waters in the hollow of his hand? You have 5 seconds. God? Yeah, think about this. Who measures the waters in the hollow of his hand? This is a figure of speech. Of course, God doesn't have a hand, but this is the hollow of your hand. Watch the kitchen cam right here. That's the hollow of your hand. He measures the waters. What does he mean by waters? He means the oceans of the world, the oceans of the earth. The earth is 75% water. God measures it. He can put it all in the palm of his hand. Of course, it's much, much epically greater than that. But he has to put it in a language that we can understand. And we'd be like, oh my God, it's a lot. It's a lot of water in a little space. And God's like rolling his eyes. It's like, okay, I got my point across, but it's more than that. You see, he's just giving an example. It's kind of like all the oceans could fit in the little hollow of my hand. And that's not even the half of it. Let's continue. Who gauges the heavens with a span? I had to look up this span. There's different ideas about it, but it's one commentary says it's like the width of 3 fingers. You know, when somebody wants a glass of whiskey and they say, give me 2 fingers of whiskey. So you measure it on the glass, 2 fingers. Well, apparently a span is like 3 fingers, so God measures the entire heaven. Okay, let's see, there's 3, 6, 9, 12. Oh, there's the whole universe. Sorry, I used the voice of the Christian God. I try not to do that when I'm talking about the true God. It's fun to make fun of the Christian God, but the true God, that is trying to communicate to ants, us pig brains, how great he is. Let's continue. That was verse 12. Verse 13, who contains the soil of the earth in a peck measure? The soil, all the soil of the earth. That includes not just the topsoil, but the bottom soil, the whole subsoil, whatever layers of soil. I'm not a geologist. Don't ask me about it. I figure, okay, what's a peck measure? What's a peck measure? I'm going to show you a picture of a peck measure. So watch the kitchen cam here. Through the magic of the internet, here we go. All right. I got four measurements here. One's a pint, a quart, a peck, a half bushel, and a bushel. These are dry measures. I'm going to show it to you. Turn the camera around. As usual, I can't see what I'm showing you, so it's kind of a crapshoot here. But anyway, there's the pint. See the quart? There's the peck. The peck's not much bigger than the pint. And the quart, chocolate ice cream comes in a quart, okay? And now you have the peck. It's just a little bigger than a quart, smaller than the half bushel. God contains all the soil in that little container, not much bigger than a quart of chocolate ice cream. Let's go on. Who weighs with a balance the mountains and the hills with scales? The mountains. The great Mount Everest. K2. Mount Whitney. Pikes Peak, where I climbed in Colorado Springs, where my friend Phil Meal is from. He could tell us, he's going to tell us maybe about Pikes Peak, how great the mountains are around the world, not just in Colorado, but God weighs with a balance, with a little scale. He weighs the mountains. They're nothing to him. They're like gumdrops. And the hills with scales. I looked at the difference between a balance and a scale. One has to do with mass. One has to do with weight. It's very complicated. I don't understand it really, but there is a difference. But the tools that measure these things are very small. That's the point of the whole thing. He measures the mountains on a scale like we would measure a bag of gumdrops that you get at the candy store. Who gauges the spirit of Yahweh? Now we're getting big time. Who gauges the spirit of Yahweh? The spirit of Yahweh, the spirit of God, makes everything happen. This earthquake will occur by the spirit of God. Everything breathes and lives by the spirit of God. Who gauges that? You know, on an airliner and any airplane, in your car, you have a gauge. It's the fuel gauge. And the fuel goes through some kind of sensor, and it gauges how much fuel you have. Who would dare to suggest that the Spirit of God can be gauged? Like, there's a limit to it. I mean, if there's a limit to it in our lives, and there is, it's him actually stopping it, but it's not like a human can measure it. I mean, God gives us a spirit in measure just because he's holding it back. But the point here, who can measure it? Who can hook up some device to it and measure? It seems like Christians want to do this. They're always, how much spirit do you have? I don't know. Let me hook up my spiritometer. No, nobody can gauge the spirit of Yahweh. Who is informing him as a man of his counsel? And from whom does he take counsel? Some people believe that they counsel God. This has to do with the earthquake. It has to do with everything God does on the earth. It's just saying how minuscule things are. I told you, all he has to do is to give a little push to the earth and the thing is wrecked. The thing is wrecked. He flicks his finger and the earth is wrecked. Oh, how's he going to bring down all those buildings? God, what a stupid question. What a stupid question. Are you kidding me? It's a miracle. All he has to do is like shift in his throne and every building falls down. You understand? Okay. Paul quotes this in Romans 11. Wait for it. With whom does he take counsel? Answered. It's a moot question. It's a rhetorical question. Nobody. Who's informing him? Some people think they do. Some people think they inform God. Like these people who pray and think they're telling God something he doesn't know. Rattling his chains. Hey, God. Knock, knock, knock. You know, the old joke that Elijah gave to the prophets of Baal. Yell a little louder. Maybe your God's on vacation or asleep. And they're so stupid they did it, you know. That's not Elijah's God. That's not our God. Who is giving him understanding? Who's teaching him in judgment's path? Who is teaching him knowledge and is informing him the way of understanding? Here's what Paul quotes in Romans 11. He's borrowing it from Isaiah 40. Here it is. Who gives to him first? And it, who gives to him first, and it shall be repaid him. I get choked up about that because it's a grand finale of Romans 11, and I'm in that chapter. We're going to be getting to it. Who gives to him anything first? Paul turns that on his head, and he says, "What in 2 Corinthians 4, 7, I think it is, what do you have that you did not obtain? What do you have? What one thing you have that you did not obtain? What one thing does this earth have that it did not obtain, including the waters, the mountains, the grass, the field, and everybody on it? It all belongs to the Lord, and he can dispose of it as he will. And it's not that hard, as I showed from these comparisons, the Holy Spirit comparing the ocean to the hand of God. The entirety of the oceans. I mean, I've seen this. I mean, come down here. You look out at the ocean, especially at night. It's immense. It's vast. It's horrifying. It's terrifying. Anybody that's ever been adrift on the ocean or been in a storm, it's a terrifying place. God controls it all as if in the hollow of his hand. So who is informing him in the way of understanding? Who gives to him first and it shall be repaid him? Do you give something to God first and then he comes back and says, oh, that's a good idea. I never thought of that. That would be the Christian God. Oh, that's a good idea. Oh, I never thought of that. Thanks for giving me that knowledge. I didn't know that. Thanks for informing me. I'll get back with you on that after I consult my consultants. Here's the killer. I'm probably finished with this. Verse 15, behold, because this has to do directly with the nations. I've been telling you about the nations, that the nations today that are all high and mighty and vaunting over Israel, as Paul suggests strongly that they not do, they are going to fall. And so how's God going to do that? Behold, all nations are as a drop from a bucket, and as dust on the scales are they accounted. This is where that phrase comes from, a drop in a bucket. It's from Isaiah. The Holy Spirit gave that analogy to Isaiah. That's where we get it. Behold, all nations are as a drop from a bucket. Not that powerful. I talked about Trump at the beginning of this show. I've been talking about politics. I talk about politics once in a while. People think, oh, Martin really cares about politics. It's interesting. But it's so minuscule. Who cares in the big picture? I don't want anybody out there to get vexed, to lose sleep, to become anxious about the political fortunes of the nations. We just see here the nations are as a drop from a bucket. If that's true, then what are the presidents? What are the premiers? What are the kings? They're just a tiny part of the nation. As far as taking up space goes, if all nations are as a drop in the bucket, what are these? As dust on the scales are they accounted. We get rocked by news of the earth, news from the nations, news around the world. The camera scans the globe, brings you the most horrible things that happen, dumps it on your head at 7 and 11, depending on your time zone. And what's the result? Yeah, you lose your peace. Hey, I'm talking to myself as I'm talking to you. All these nations are as a drop from a bucket. To God, as dust on the scales are they accounted. Behold, like the thinnest gauze, he lifts up the coastlands. I'll end there. Like the thinnest gauze. You know what gauze is? You unroll it from a Band-Aid box or whatever. Like the thinnest gauze are the coastlands. Every coast, whether it's rocks, sand, water, gather it all together and God lifts it. Like the thinnest gauze is nothing to him. Thus, the only thing preventing the cities of the nations from falling, the only thing preventing the earth being rocked and humanity being terrified and finally realizing there's a God, all it takes is for the day and the hour that he decides to do it. He's not on a training program. He's not trying to work up his courage. He's not trying to... When he's ready, he'll do it. And it'll be as easy for him as it is for us to brush a piece of hair off our foreheads. This comforts me. I like a big God. I like to be little. And I like it that this God is now our Father. We have a familial relationship with us. How about that? The God who can wreck cities and mountains is our friend. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel pretty secure.